Well, let's turn to the Word. I'm going to get into the Word today. God's Word is so good. God is so good. And we'll be in Matthew here in a minute. I don't know, this morning I'm trying to even put into words kind of what I feel. I just feel God's love, amazing love, and how wonderful He is. And I just really feel like He doesn't want us to forget that, nor take it for granted or treat it lightly. I think He just wants us to, there's just times that He needs to remind us like we're bathing in it. Like we're just taking a bath in His love, and it so covers us from head to toe. We don't just have the head knowledge that we're His. We really have this inward knowing that we're His. And if we have any doubt of that, we need to come to Him and just submit to Him all over again and say, God, touch me again. Touch me once again. Because I need a reminder of how beautiful and wonderful You are. And I hope maybe some of us were getting that this morning as I felt His presence with us, beautiful presence with us. 2021, senators met with a panel of physicians, researchers, and policy experts in Washington, D.C., as they oftentimes do. They have these gatherings and meetings and councils and things like that. They were there to discuss what they consider to be a health epidemic that is closely tied to poor quality of diets in many, many millions of Americans. As you can imagine, you've probably heard stories and read stories and articles and maybe even books. Dariush Mozafarian, Dean of Tufts School of Nutrition, said this. He says, "We're on a pathway of disaster." A report from the Kressler Institute stated that in parts of the developed world, such as the United States, our diets are calorie dense, but not nutrient dense. Furthermore, the more calorie-dense, nutrient-poor foods one consumes, the higher one's risk of becoming nutrient-deficient. Considering that more than half the calories Americans consume come from nutrient-depleted, ultra-processed foods, including refined flours and industrial seed oils, it comes as no surprise that so many people are undernourished. Are you undernourished today? There's plenty of data and reports that speak to these issues about the health epidemic of Americans who are well-fed but undernourished. Did you know there was a difference? There is a difference, as people are making it clear. Whether it's the food we eat or the soil that's depleted or leached of nutrients that we're growing on our farmlands, you've probably read stuff towards this. I hope if you haven't, please do. There's lots of data out there, books written. We eat more calories in America. We eat more calories than we need, but we don't often get the nourishment that we need. Malnourishment causes a host of problems, as you can imagine, over time. And you and I believe, we know that nourishment is important. Malnourishment is something that we often associate with third world because they're not getting enough food. But yet, we can be malnourished here in America. Now, I believe everyone should address these issues and how we eat, how we take care of ourselves, how we get our vitamins and nutrients and all these things and what we put in our bodies. And we should think about these things. We should consider these things and make wise decisions, as some of you do, because I know I've had conversations with some of you, and you have considered these things, and you do things in this arena. You don't just choose anything that comes your way. You make decisions to get necessary nutrients that your body needs. This is stewarding our health in a proper way. It's stewarding our health in a world that markets the quick and easy, the fast food, the microwave, just zap it and eat it. But oftentimes when you zap it and eat it, that kind of food, the hungry meal or the hunger man meals or whatever the things, the Stouffer, Jimmy Dean, the microwave quick, it's calories. But it's not the nutrients. Even microwaves, they say, kill nutrients. But you know these things, or maybe you don't, but you need to know these things. But I'm not here to talk to you about physical problems and an epidemic of eating and nutrients and soil and all the kind of stuff, the problems that we have in America today. But I do want to say something about being overfed and yet undernourished. Because it's not just a physical problem. Yes, it is a physical problem. And it's something that each of us should address. But it's also a spiritual problem. Because even spiritually, we can be overfed and undernourished. And it can create all kinds of problems. We live in a world that tempts us to the quick and easy. We live in a world where, hey, 10-minute devotion, let's go. And sometimes we don't even remember what we read. It tempts us, this world, to a quick and easy in our spiritual lives. We want spiritually processed, easy, and microwaved. Make it quick. Pastor, you're preaching too long. Make it quick. Come on, I've got things to do way more important than your sermon. I get it. I'm not trying to be the most important thing in your day, but there's something we need to meditate upon. Take time. Selah, right? We see in the Psalms, it says, Selah, stop, take time, consider. Because if we're not doing Selah, then oftentimes we're getting it in one ear and out the other. And it's really not doing anything for us. It's just we microwave it, we're quick, and we don't really take time. They say the cow has more than one stomach. I'm not sure how many stomachs a cow has. But he chews and chews and chews the grass. It goes down somewhere, and then it comes back up for some more chewing on the cud. I don't know everything about that, but there's something about getting nourishment that takes time to chew. Cows seem to eat all day. I don't know. They like the grass, they eat all day, but they're getting nourishment. They take time to chew. We have a problem when we're lacking spiritual nourishment, where we're trying to take the quick and easy way of our society and our lifestyle. And if we continually live with lack of nutrients, lacking what our body needs and lacking what our soul needs, we actually become people who are weak. Weak physically and weak spiritually. And by nature of being malnourished, we're more likely to become sick. I mean, sure, sick physically, but also, do you know we could be sick spiritually? It can affect our soul. You can be sick in your soul. Now, what does it mean to be nourished? We know that word. That word Merriam-Webster defines for us as to furnish or sustain with nutriment. The question is, what is nutriment? But it is the things that we furnish and sustain us. Now, nourish also means this. It means to promote the growth of. To promote the growth of. Nourishing is more than just feeding. See, because we can feed and not be nourished. It can be a lot of empty calories. We need something that sustains us and gives us strength. Nourishing is promoting growth, even giving us strength. It strengthens us for any time, especially the hard times. Jesus faced hard times. And he did it because he wanted to show us how to face hard times. So why would he go, for instance, 40 days in the desert, in the wilderness, without food? Why would he face hard times, then facing the devil who had tried to tempt him to lose his purpose here on earth? He endured physical suffering, yet he somehow walked in spiritual strength. Matthew 4 gives us this picture of Jesus, physical suffering, but yet walking in spiritual strength. It says the tempter, the devil, came to Jesus and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." This is after 40 days of not having anything to eat. Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." The words of God. How does Jesus have the strength to refute the devil in this wilderness place? How is it that Jesus is not desperate to give in for a slice of bread? Have you ever been desperate to give in for a slice of bread? Like Esau trading his lineage, his blessing for a pot of stew? Yet Jesus has a strength beyond the natural. He has to have a strength. His natural state is weak. Is actually, he's literally about to pass out. He's literally about to lose it. But he has strength beyond the natural. You know, Jesus here is quoting the Old Testament. He's quoting Scripture. He's quoting out of Deuteronomy 8, verse 2, because Jesus knows the words of God. He knows these words, and it says this is what he is eating on. He's eating on the bread of God's word. And in Deuteronomy 8, it says, this is the time of where, again, speaking of how God led the people out of, the slaves out of Egypt into the wilderness. And they were in a wilderness too. It says, remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years. Jesus' 40 days representing the 40 years of the Israelites being in the wilderness. This was to tumble and test you in order to know what was in your heart. Testing reveals what's in our heart. Whether or not you would keep his commands, he humbled you. He humbled you, causing you to hunger and then feeding you with manna, this heavenly bread, which neither you nor your ancestors had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. See, Jesus intimately knew this. See, they survived on manna in the desert daily, God's ration given to them. They learned how to rely on God. And yes, they hungered. And yes, they had desire for more than manna. But God gave them manna, this nutritious, nutrient-dense bread that gave them the strength they needed. No, they didn't get to go to Outback Steakhouse. But they learned to rely on God for what they needed. Because why? He is our source. He is our source. And God, over and over, and he wanted to teach these people who had been slaves to oppressors, the Egyptians who had oppressed them and beaten them down, to come out and say, they are no longer your master. They're no longer your source. You are cut free from them. You have been set free and delivered out of Egypt bondage. But you need to know that I'm your source. They say, God says, you need to know I'm your source. And so what are we going to do? We're going to walk daily. Daily. With manna as your source. Only coming by the hand of God. See, God nourishes us. His word has the power to nourish us. And I hope that this is something that you experience. I hope when you sit down with the Word of God and you meditate, you take time, you take Selah, a moment, and you meditate, that those words ruminate in your soul, that you don't let them just come in and out. And I know sometimes we do, but that you have those times, and you know those times where that word jumps off the page and it comes alive and it speaks to you, and it speaks to your life. And you know God is speaking to you. And it's a beautiful word that we meditate upon, and we hear him, and we know him more, and we hear what he's saying. It's not just information. There's the Scripture, the word that feeds our soul. And the Spirit of God brings to life. See? I always pray every time I read the Word of God. Now, it's not like I always come away with some great revelation, right? But every time I do sit down to read the Word of God, I'm praying, Lord God, by your Spirit, show me. By your Spirit, teach me. He says, you know, he's our teacher. The Spirit of God is our teacher. He's our instructor. So I want to hear what he has to say. And so I do. I always pray that way. Pray. Ask God to show you something that you've never seen. to give you revelation. Now, what about hunger? There's physical hunger. We know that. We've all been hungry. Some of you may be hungry right now. But what about spiritual hunger? There's such a thing as spiritual hunger, right? Can God lead you to a place of hunger? The scriptures are telling us, yeah, God can lead you to a place of hunger. In fact, God wants you to be hungry. Not in a negative way. Not in a negative way. You see, scripture tells us that hunger is not terrible. This is not a terrible thing. In the right context, hunger actually has an excellent purpose. There's a purpose in being hungry. There's a right context. In the right context, let me say this. Hunger is a gift. It's a gift. In the right context, it is a gift to you. It's a gift to me to be hungry. Because what does hunger tell us? We're in need. We have need. There's something that we need for nourishing our bodies, but there's a spiritual hunger. There's something that we know we need for nourishment of our soul. You know, it's okay to know that your soul is not okay. It's okay to know that. It's actually a beautiful thing to know that my soul is not okay. You may not know. You may know why that is. And it's okay to be hungry for more. You know, sometimes we mistake things in life. We mistake things. We make mistakes thinking that there's a hunger stirring inside of us and we need to feel that hunger, but then we start going to sources that are not really meant to fill that. Or it may give us a distraction or a temporary. Like we may be hungry for love and intimacy and fulfillment and satisfaction in our soul, and we start looking to things that we think will satisfy. We start looking to a person. Oh, you know, you seem to be a good person. Like we will latch on to a person to be the satisfaction for our soul. Now, I'm not saying people can't bless us and love us. You know, we need relationships, right? Some of us will latch on. People will latch on to a bottle. Or some of us will become workaholics and latch on to success. Having my name in some kind of high up place will think and believe that this will satisfy my soul. Oftentimes then we get to the end of the road realizing that wasn't what I thought it would be. It wasn't what I was hoping for it to be. Certainly, I still have a need in my soul that's still there. Spiritual hunger can be a gift, especially when we begin to understand that the one who can truly provide, the one who can truly satisfy, that he is our source. He's our manna. He's our daily need. So where we seek and find true nourishment, where will we do that? Where will we find that which will satisfy our soul? You know, we have to ask ourselves, what are we doing in this regards? Are we hungry for the right things? So much of what we can fill our lives with can end up being empty calories and not true satisfying. You know, Jesus was extremely malnourished in his body, but he was able to hold fast to the words of God in the midst of temptation to give in. His soul was well nourished, even though his body was not. Well nourished in the words of God, in the presence of God, because he spent time with the Father. He walked with the Father in heaven. He prayed. He had conversations in the presence of God. This sustained him. This gave him strength even when his body was failing. What gives you strength today? Where do you find your strength? Is it a late night snack that sustains you? Or do you find sustenance in God? This is a hard truth for each and every one of us, and sometimes we don't realize it until we kind of wake up one day and realize that too often we replace God with other things. I mean, we still have God in our lives, but we do. We edge him out, and we start squeezing other things in sometimes it takes a moment where we realize that something's quite not right in our soul. And then we have to ask, what have I been doing? What have I been feeding? What have I been feeding my soul? If I'm not careful, if we're not careful, we'll turn to the pleasures of this world. We'll turn to mind-numbing entertainment. We'll come home and our source will be the glass of wine to make us come to ease. Or it'll be entertainment or whatever it might be. Now again, there's nothing wrong with watching a good movie, especially movies that edify the soul. So I'm not trying to doubt, oh, we can't watch a movie, no. This is not like the don't cut your hair sermon. It's not that. But it is saying pay attention to what you're feeding on. Pay attention to what you're chewing on. Pay attention. You know, I've seen it in my life. If I come home every night and I just want to sit down and watch a baseball game because it relaxes me, you would say nothing's wrong with a baseball game. But if that becomes my source and it really takes the place of what I could be finding in the God, I'm going to find eventually that I'm going to be lacking nourishment for my soul, because that baseball game is not going to give me nourishment for my soul. I might enjoy it. I might have time, especially if the team wins. But hey, it's not going to strengthen me spiritually. It's not going to give me really what I need. If I watch news every night and I'm filling myself up with news and everything that's going on in the world, I might become a depressed individual. Nothing wrong with watching the news. But if that's my source, got to know what's going on in the world, got to stay connected. I say, wait a minute. Maybe I just need some time with God, time with the Lord. I can always catch the news feed later. I don't need to be dependent on anything to feed my soul. You know this when you feel like you've got a need, you've got an urge. I've got to. You know, it's a habit. It's a way of life. But we need to practice the very presence of God, being in the presence of God. This needs to be a habit for us, practicing being in the presence of God. Where we shut everything out and we know him. Where we know his word, we know we have communion with him. Because he's our source. He's our source of stability. He's our source of strength. Whether you're facing good days or you're facing hard days, he's our source of strength. And we can't microwave this. You know, this is the kind of spirituality that cannot be microwaved. It comes with spending time, committing ourselves to the Lord, being in his presence. The Bible tells us it's like becoming oaks of righteousness that will not waver in the storm and that will stay healthy even in times of difficulty. God gives us this vivid imagery throughout Scripture, imagery of strong trees with their roots deeply set in God. Jeremiah is one place where we can see this imagery. It says out of Jeremiah 17, it says, but blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. Don't you want to be like oaks, trees of righteousness, with your roots down deep in the living waters of God? We sang about that this morning. Where we are partaking and drinking of that living water, and it's giving us sustenance for our soul. It's strengthening us, sustaining us in times of heat, in times of drought. We do not stop yielding fruit. People who have deep roots, roots in the things of God, where God nourishes us. These are people who last. These are people who stand strong in times of difficulty. Sometimes you don't know. But if you've been feeding on the wrong things too long, it eventually comes out in some way or somehow. God's telling us that we can live our life free from foreboding fear and anxiousness, fear of lack, fear of abandonment. You know, when I lose my job or we lose our jobs or unexpected events happen in life that disrupt everything, we don't need to fear because we're rooted in Him. When someone fails me or fails you in a hurtful way, or all of a sudden there seem to be enemies coming out of the woodwork that we never knew we had, maybe even a health struggle comes up. Yet the Bible says, trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord, because our hope is in Him. If we're rooted deep in God, we can overcome all manners of difficulties and struggles. These things may disturb us for a moment or cause us concern, yet we do not have to be shaken because we're rooted deep in God. And we have strength to make it through. So what are you feeding on today? What is your source? What are your daily habits? Do you have roots deep down in the living water of God? The waters that God gives us for the nourishment of our soul. Today, do you have a taste for God? He says, taste and see that He is good. That's what we're commanded. In Proverbs 34:8, it says, taste and see the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in Him. Blessed is the one. Sometimes people lose their taste for God. Yeah, if you want to put up that one, is it Psalm 34:8? Sometimes people lose their taste for God. Oftentimes it's because we become satiated with other taste of other things. Pleasures of this world, things of this world, we oftentimes become satiated in this way and we develop taste for other things. And sometimes we can lose our taste for God. But let me say this. If your soul desires Him, if you have a longing in your heart, oftentimes you may recognize it, that it's for Him. But if you don't, sometimes we realize the longing in your heart oftentimes is for Him. It's for Him. And when we come to realize that, say, wait a minute. Maybe I'm missing Him. Maybe I just want to spend more time with Him. Boy, this always touched my heart. And sometimes it made me feel guilty. But you know when your kids are small, I'm just going to tell you, and I hope you understand this imagery. When your kids are small, and they want daddy time, and that time when you're, and the Lord's just bringing this to mind, maybe this is for one person, I don't know, but that time when your son runs out the door as you're driving off, and he's waving, and you roll down your window, and you give him one last kiss or one last hug, and it hurts your heart in some ways because you know what he wants is daddy time. That's what he's longing for. That's what he wants. And sometimes you feel a little guilty for having to drive off to go to work on that, you know, that moment. But I understand what that longing of the heart is. That longing of their heart. I tell you, if you have something in you that's stirring, sometimes we just need to recognize what it is. I need daddy time. I need Abba time. Because if you get too busy in life and you just get going to and fro, and you have too many things on your list, and you're trying to accomplish the world, you could really miss Him. And if you start feeling depleted of nutrients in your soul, and you start longing for something deeper, you need daddy time. You need Him. Don't forsake, don't neglect, don't say, hey, the bank account's good, the house is pretty good order, nothing's falling apart. I mean, you might look in the peripheral, you might look in the outward and say things are pretty good, but down deep, there's a need. There's a need for Him. Don't neglect that, because honestly, it's more important than all the peripheral stuff. It's more important. Go to Him. He'll spend time with you. He longs for that. Develop your taste for God over and above everything else. You know, sometimes this means going to bed with some soft worship. You know, you want to sleep well at night? Why don't you just play that beautiful instrumental worship? Just softly. Or have the scriptures read to you. The Psalm 23 read to you. Have it in your consciousness as you go to bed. Spend time with them. Turn the TV off. Don't go to bed with the TV. Go to bed hearing God, with God in your conscience. Let Him bless your sleep. I love it when I wake up with a worship song in my heart. Sometimes I got to find it on my phone, find it on Spotify. And then I just want to worship. Sometimes He'll put a song in my heart. Sometimes He'll speak to me through a song. He'll have a message to me. When you wake up in the middle of the night, don't fret that you're losing sleep. That can be sometimes frustrating. But just go to prayer. Just go to prayer. You'll fall back asleep. But just go back to prayer. Go to Him. Spend time with Him. Sometimes we even have to wrestle with some things in prayer. But I've been amazed that sometimes if I will wrestle with God in prayer over things, something in my life, that I actually will come out finding relief and waking up refreshed. You know, our taste can change over time. And we can develop a greater hunger for God. Example of this is I remember fasting sweets during a Lent many years ago. I 40 days, no sweets, no desserts, which I like. But I remember coming off the fast, I tried chocolate cake. It looked really good, right? Things look really good. Great example of calorie-rich, nutrient-deficient. Great example. That chocolate cake tasted awful. It was so sweet. It was like, oh my goodness, this is overwhelmingly sweet. It was too much. My taste buds had actually changed. Because what I used to enjoy in that super sugary sweet, I didn't enjoy at all. But you know what I did enjoy? I enjoyed fruit. Strawberries tasted better. Grapes tasted better. Natural sweetness tasted better. And not that artificial tasting. It's interesting that I actually enjoyed healthy foods more when I put aside all desserts and sweets. Yeah, this is also the case for our hunger with God. If we're putting things in place of God and we're satiating our hungers with other things, and some of these things can be good things. I'm not saying they're all bad things, but we're still putting it in place of God. We're going to find ourselves overfed but undernourished. Make room for God by putting aside habits that fill voids in your life. And just recognize that's what you're doing. I'm trying to fill a void. I'm trying to fill a void. But I need God. I need God in this place. Make time for God. Develop your taste for, the Bible says, have a taste for pure spiritual milk. Peter says it in 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2 says, like newborn babies, crave. Okay? Crave. Do we understand what the word crave? Hunger deeply, right? Deeply hunger pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. See, we're to taste and see that the Lord is good, and we're to crave pure spiritual milk, desiring what He gives us, undefiled, pure, without any defilement of any sort. It is pure, it is good for our soul. It nourishes us. May we crave for him. May we crave time with him. May we crave his presence and his word. We're to grow up in our salvation. So crave what is truly pure and truly good. Even Peter tells us in the verse before this, 1 Peter 2, 1, verse 1, he says, rid yourself. See, we got to get rid of some stuff. Rid yourself of all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, slander of every kind. You see, because it's stuff like this that people feed on. And if you're feeding on stuff like this, you probably have lost your hunger for God. Because this stuff is occupying your spirit. What about getting revenge? What about tearing somebody's reputation down? Somebody who did something wrong to you? What about envying what somebody else has that you don't have? This can eat people up. And it will hinder your hunger for God. He says, put it out. Put it out of life. Get it out of your life. Rid yourself. We don't need to feed on negative, hurtful, resentful things. We're feeding on the wrong stuff. So we let go. We let go of harmful sources that cause us many problems. You know, even doctors know this too. We know unforgiveness, resentfulness, bitterness. It can all lead down to the point where people have physical diseases that were caused by internal problems. They were feeding on these things over time, causing weakness from the soul that causes weakness in the body. Even doctors know this and talk about this. Unforgiveness is a terrible thing. We need to let go of harmful sources. We need the nourishment of God. We need God daily as our source. We need to grow in him. Hear these final words. Being fed does not mean nourished. Being busy does not mean being fulfilled. Being well compensated does not mean being abundant and prosperous. Being occupied does not mean being satisfied. If I put my kids in front of a TV all day, they're occupied. They're occupied. But I would say they're not satisfied. There's essential daily things that little boys and girls need that won't come from watching too much TV. And watching too much TV will actually deprive them of the growth and the health that they need. We don't want to be just occupied, but what will truly, truly satisfy us? We need the richness and the wealth and the blessings of God, the Word of God for our souls, spending time with God, being in His presence, knowing Him, conversing Him, hearing His voice, learning to walk with Him, having faith to step out and do things he's calling us to do, because sometimes we don't realize there is a blessing when we step out on the other side and see him work and move in our lives that we're like, wow, I never would have experienced that unless I stepped out on faith, believing that he was going to meet me in that point of doing what he was calling me to do. So I pray that you will seek God. I pray that you'll pray. If you're not having that spiritual hunger, pray for it. Ask for it. And then be sensitive to lay aside some things, carve some time, spend more time than you normally would, and worship him. Open your hearts to him. Let your faith be stirred, and let God nourish your soul. Let him nourish you and make you strong. Well, that's my prayer for today, that you will be strong, that you'll be strong in the Lord, mighty. You'll be a mighty one in God. See, you don't always know the mighty ones by looking on the outside, right? You don't always know but the mighty are strong in the Lord. This is how David defeated Goliath. It's how we win victories in life. It's how we overcome the devil, the tempter. It's how we stay strong like oaks of righteousness. So be strong in the Lord. Be strong in Him today. Let's pray.